Good afternoon. this is the fifth message on the story of the New Testament church. And the title, could you lower this volume a little bit? I think that I hear a lot of howling. The title of message is Repent. And can I ask you to give your ears to my word today? Peter did that in Acts chapter 2. And I think it's given, but because I really, really believe in this message, okay? Can I ask you to give your ears undivided attention to the word that I'll be sharing with you today, okay? Please, fix your eyes and thoughts to what is being shared today. And the reason I share that is because the word repent is everywhere in the scripture, in the Old Testament, through the prophets. Every single one of them was asking people to repent, right? Repent. And when John the Baptist came, he said, repent. When Jesus came, repent. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, apostles said, repent. And if you go all the way back to the book of Revelation, and Jesus speaks to church to repent. If you don't get this, you do not know him. Okay? What does that word mean? Turning around. Okay, that's basically what it is. Let me just give you why we need to repent. I was just kind of like summarizing this morning as before I come to church. There's only two directions you could be living or walking. Okay? I'm facing towards you right now, facing the cross behind me, one direction. And the other option is I just turn around like this. And those are the two options you have. Okay? So why repent? Walking one way, and it has a directional connotation, or the other. Okay? One is toward God, and the other one is against God. One is loving God, and the other one is hating God. And one is obedient to God, and the other one is rebelling against God. Okay, those are the two directions you have, according to the scripture. We would like to make a lot of things in between, struggles and blah, 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 but those are the basically two options that the Bible offers. So one is loving and obedient to God, and one is hating and rebelling against God. One is toward God, and the other one is against God. Okay? One is being submissive and humble to his lordship and his kingship. The other is self-lordship and kingship. Isn't that the case? Those are the two options you have. Either you submit to his lordship and kingship, or you live your own lordship and kingship. Okay? So self-lordship and kingship, and one is being humbled in yourself before the Lord. You know, if you meet God, you will be humbled. There's no question about it. Okay? And the other one is just being proud. One more. One is life, and the other is death and destruction, according to the scripture. And one is, what are some symptoms of your living a repentant life? Okay? Some symptoms. You have peace in your heart. Okay? You have joy in your heart. And you'll be thankful. These are some symptoms, outcomes, or manifestations of one who's repented and living a repentant life. What is the opposite symptom? That you are not heading toward God and against him. These are some of the symptoms. Okay? You're angry. If you think about it, what is anger? Anger is looking at something, someone else's sin or your sin, and you are saying, this is not right. Right? How many of you are angry about your own sin? Not many of you, probably. Right? How many of you are angry about other people's sin? Many of you. All of us. Right? So anger is one symptom. How about blame? Blame. Always blame. Is blame pointing toward your sin or blame pointing toward other people's sin? You could answer that, right? How about judgmental? How about rebelling? How about, can't quite read this. How about instead of lightness of spirit, you feel heavy? You know, it's funny because if you judge others, if you blame others, you should feel light. Your spirit should be lightened up. But it's just the opposite, isn't it? When you blame others, you're heavy. You live in heaviness of your spirit. So why repent? Because one is life and the other one is death. And there's only two direction, people. Okay? There's only two direction, people. And God, throughout the scripture and throughout history, right now, give your ears to my word, please. Calling you to repent. All of you to repent. But I'm a Christian already. Yes, Christians too. You need to repent. Every day we need to repent. Then Jesus say, if you have taken shower, you only need to wash your feet in John chapter 13. Absolutely right. But if you have taken the shower though. But I'm not quite sure whether I have taken the shower or not. I was thinking about this. If you have taken the shower, you would know. Okay? Because otherwise you smell. Right? Here's an amazing thing. You know, if you think about it, looking at other people's sin, your option, and looking at your own sin, if you keep your eyes open, you see other people's sin. But it's amazing, if you close your eyes, you see your own sin. It's just the opposite. If you open your eyes, you're blind to your own sin. If you close your eyes, you see. And in fact, if you walk in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, Spirit will lead you and show you the greater sin of yours. Oh, that's terrible, right? Oh, greater sin. That's not good. But unless you see a great sin and feeling hopeless, you're not going to cling on to Christ. We call that saving faith, saving faith. Okay? In other words, it's impossible. It's inconceivable. It doesn't make any sense. You say, I have a saving faith in Christ, and you are completely blind to your own sin. Does that make sense? I hope this makes sense to you. Why do we need to repent? Because one is life, and the other is death. This is what Jesus said, right? The Son of God. God came by himself, and the first thing he said is repent. And can I just ask you a question? Because I was thinking about this question. What do you think is the tone of voice of Jesus saying, repent? Okay? You know, unless you repent, there is a destruction and you know, consequences. Is he threatening you? Repent! Repent! Is he threatening you? Or is he begging you? Repent, please. I don't think it's neither, actually. You think about it. What do you think is the tone of voice when God and or Jesus is asking you to repent? Okay? If he's saying this in the Old Testament, if he's saying it in the Gospels, if he's saying this in the New Testament, if he's saying this now, what do you think he's saying to you? Begging you? Please, please. Or is he threatening you? Unless you repent, you're going to die. You're going to go into the hell, burn in hell for eternity. Is that what he's saying? Which is true, though. You know, I thought about this. Repent is his heart. He's asking people to repent is his heart. What do you think the heart is? I think it's firm. I don't think it's like slushy. I don't think so. God is never like that. It's firm. And yet, great love and passion for you. Don't you think? Why do we need to repent? D.L. Moody says, man is born with his face turned away from God, okay? We're born like this, away from God, okay? Cross behind me. When he truly repents, he's turned right around toward God. Do you see that? One is away from God, and the other one is toward God, and he leaves his old life. You know what repentance is, basically? Not just, oh, I was wrong. I mean, that's a piece of, part of repentance. But you know what the repentance is? You turn around and start walking in complete different direction. That's repentance. Let me illustrate. Let's say you hate this person. You begin to love him. Let's say you're very stingy toward God, having trouble giving because you are the king of your own life. When you repent, you give generously to people and give generously to God. Isn't that repentance? Isn't that what Zacchaeus said? If I've done anything wrong, let me just pay back four times of that to the people that I've wronged. That's repentance. Repentance is not something you do at a retreat. Repentance is not something you do at a quiet time only. Repentance is a life. It's just turning around from life. From haters of God like Saul to become a lover of God like Paul. That's repentance. And my question, let me just ask you for the first time, have you repented? God says to you, Jesus says to you, repent, for the kingdom is near. I think there's a sense in which he's talking about the eschatological. When Christ returns, there's going to be kingdom and the judgment. But it applies right now too. Kingdom is in your heart. Do you have a kingdom in your heart? Or do you have full of blame and hatred and anger? Clear sign of you have not repented. Clear sign, isn't it? Okay, just a couple of passages quickly before we look at today's text. Acts chapter 17. Why do we need to repent? Acts 17 is Paul speaking at Athens, okay? Second missionary journey. Periagus, in front of that huge temple of Apollos behind him. He's speaking to the people, okay? And this is what he says, if you can look at it. Time of ignorance, God overlooked. Well, you didn't know, so God overlooked. But now, he commands all people everywhere to repent. That's what the scripture is saying. All people everywhere to repent. It's up to you whether you do it or not. But God commands you to do that. Why? Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man, okay, whom he has appointed. Who's that man? Okay? And that man is, and of this he has given an assurance to all by raising him from the dead, referring to Jesus the Messiah. He's going to come, he fixed the date, and he's going to judge you. Every one of you in the world, everywhere, right? Everywhere, and all people, you need to repent and come back to the Lord. Okay? One more verse. Why do we need to repent? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. Okay, correcting his opponents with gentleness so that God may grant you, God may grant, perhaps grant them repentance. Okay, what does that mean? Leading to a knowledge of the truth. In other words, unless you repent, you don't even know what's true. You're living by fakes and lies and deceptions and illusions and something that's going to disappear like bubbles. That's what it means. Unless you turn to him, you don't even know what's true, Bible is saying. Secondly, that they may come to senses. In other words, unless you repent, you're out of your senses. You're out of your mind. You don't even know how to react to different things. You see beautiful things and you can rejoice. You see ugly things and you rejoice. Don't you do that? People do that? You know, you go to this horror movies and people's bodies chopped off and people laughing and clap. Isn't that kind of crazy? Is that something to celebrate about? That's human heart, unless you repent to the Lord. Okay, and thirdly, lastly, I think this is the most vivid one. You escape from the snare of the devil. In other words, unless you took the shower, you're in a snare of the devil. Okay? But if God grants you repentance, he will capture you. God will capture you so that you could do his will. Don't you want to repent? Repent, people. Don't be a stiff-necked people. Close your eyes. Then you will see your own sin. You open your eyes, you only see other people's sin, always pointing fingers. But only problem is you don't feel light in your spirit, but you feel so heavy in your spirit. The more you do it, the deeper you get into that life of death. And you know what? From my ministry experience, so many people are in there, right there. Today's text quickly, okay? This is Acts chapter 3, which records the first miracle of the New Testament church, which was a lame beggar begging to John and Peter and John, right? It was around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They were ready to go to the temple to pray. And there was a beggar who was born as a lame, okay, asking for money. And Peter and John were passing by. They looked at him. God is looking at you right now. Looking at you. He's looking at you right now. You fix your eyes upon him. And then you know what Peter and John said? Look at us. I'm going to ask you, look at me, please. Please look at me. Right? Look at me. And then he grabbed his hand. The silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And he got up and walked. People are going crazy. He's looking at you right now. Right? You should be a lame beggar. So people are going crazy. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Man of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made them walk? It wasn't us. Don't look at me. Don't look at us. What's he going to talk about? The God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus. Right away, he points to Jesus. You know what? New Testament church sermons were always Christocentric and Christ glorifying. That must be the case. Otherwise, it's not a sermon. Christocentric and Christ glorifying. Right away, just like chapter 2, chapter 3, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you have delivered. You have denied in the presence of Pilate. What is he doing when he had decided to release him? But you denied the holy and righteous one, referring to the title of Messiah in the Old Testament. You see, God glorified him, but you, Jews, you delivered him. You give to Pilate, and you denied him. You also denied him when he went to release him. Instead of taking the Messiah, you asked for a murderer. Who's that? Barabbas. What do you choose in your life? Do you choose Christ or do you choose a murderer? We do that all the time. How do you choose your job? How do you choose your spouse? How do you choose your church? Can I ask you? What are you looking for? Seriously, brothers and sisters, right? What's he doing? Right away. Is convicting of sin of the people. Wow, that's so nasty. That is so politically incorrect thing to do in 21st century, especially in Western culture. You did this. Your sin. But you know what? Without conviction of sin, there's no Savior. You don't need a Savior because you are not a sinner. But if you look at here, very clearly, right, very clearly. You denied him, you delivered him, you denied the Messiah, you asked for a murderer, and you killed author of life. That's God, isn't it? Author of life. Whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by his name, the name of Jesus, in other words, what he has done through his death and resurrection, ascension, that he's God, by faith in his name, that he has made this man, the lame beggar, right? Strong when he has seen and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of all. I didn't do it. It's not me. It's not us. It's in the name, it's in the faith of Jesus Christ. He was made well. Pointing toward Christ after pointing toward your sin. Can I just ask you, how many of you know your sin? A lot of different things may come to your mind right now. Yeah. Yeah, I drink. I smoke pot. Yeah. I'm living a promiscuous lifestyle. No. Much deeper than that. Much deeper than that. Every single one of you, please look at me. How many of you know you're a sinner? You killed him. You denied him. You hand him over. You deny him over and over and over again. That's what Peter said to the Jews. He's ready to be killed, I think. Just like Stephen, who was killed, right? But without conviction of your sin, you're not going to look at Christ. You know what? If you look at John chapter 16, when Jesus was talking about Holy Spirit, the role of Holy Spirit, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict you of your sin and your righteousness and the judgment. That's what the Spirit does. Are you walking with the Holy Spirit? He will open your eyes to your own sin. If not, you will be completely blind to your own sin. Probably a sign that you have never taken the shower. Okay? I say probably. Okay? Probably. You have never taken the shower. So, okay. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance. Now the gospel comes. Once the bad news is given, once the diagnosis is made, now the treatment could come. The good news could come. You see? You didn't know. You were living in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But God foretold by mouth of all the prophets that this Christ would be suffer, and he thus fulfilled. You know what he's doing? You messed it up. You killed him. But God worked over. God worked through your sin. Not through your sin. God worked over, just going over, and he carries out his purpose, and Christ was suffered. Okay? So the good news is this. Now you repent. Now you repent. Okay? This is repentance. Oh, not just, you know, thinking that I've done something wrong. I have this stealing. I have this hatred. No. You got to turn around. You got to turn around and start walking. That's repentance. In the book of Acts, you got to start walking. Okay? Repent, therefore, and turn back that your sin may be blotted out. Sins may be blotted out. Okay? I want to talk about this word, blotted out. And then the time of refreshing may come. Okay? So if you look at his sermon, you could probably just summarize it in four sections. Number one, he basically it's so Christ-centered. Introduce Christ. Okay? God glorified his servant, Jesus. It's Christ-centered. Secondly, grappling of sin. We got to see your sin. Otherwise, you're not going to go to him. Okay? Sin. Your sin. Okay? And then, the gospel, call to repentance. Every single one of you. And then reason for repentance. Okay? Your sins will be blotted out, and you will have a time of refreshing. Can I ask you, how many of you have spirit of refreshing spirit in you right now? You've been repenting before the Lord, realizing God has shown such great mercy upon you. So you surrender to him and you feel lightness in my spirit and feel the freedom. How many of you? Can I ask you? If not, you haven't been repenting in your life. Christians and non-Christians alike. You need to take a major shower and then you need to wash your feet all the time. Right? If you have done neither of the two, then you are in a complete mess right now. Perhaps you took the shower at one point. Perhaps. But you haven't been repenting. You kept your eyes open and you only see other people's sin. Your heart has become so hardened. And you feel the heaviness. Instead of lightness, you feel heavy. Coming to church is such a difficult thing. Forget about serving. Right? The difference between true and false repentance lies in this. John Bunyan, the man who truly repents cries out against his own heart. Do you do that? If not, you're not truly repenting at all. Right? But the other, as Eve, against serpent or something else. In other words, you blame. It's one or the other. Are you repenting? Are you blaming? One is to life, and one is to death. One brings peace in your spirit. The other brings hell in your spirit, literally. Okay? I want to talk about what does repentance bring? Two things. Number one, it blot out. It brings forgiveness, and the expression blot out. I want to explain that, okay? The word blot out is like wiping out off of a document. I write things with a fountain pen. I love fountain pen. Any of you use it? There are someone I know who uses it in this congregation. Classy. Yeah. I use fountain pen. I love it. Right? That blotting out your sin is a ink fountain pen kind of word. It's to wiping out ink off of a document. Okay? And let me just explain this. Unlike modern ink, ink in the ancient world had no acidic component to it. Okay? That acid, what that does is it kind of bites the paper. Okay? They used to write, not on paper because they didn't have paper in ancient time, but they wrote on something called papyrus. Okay? Papyrus. And if it is not biting onto it, it just kind of sits on top of it and it hardens. Do you get it? It doesn't bite. Ink just stays on top and it bites. So what you can do is you get a damp paper and you could just wipe it out. And it's gone. Okay? It's that kind of connotation. It says in Colossians chapter 2, you who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, forgiving us all our sins and trespasses by canceling the record of the debt. Do you see that? Do you know all of your sin is recorded? It's indelible. It's recorded. It's in the scripture. Everything is recorded. Every single thing is recorded. How could they do that? How much room would it take? How much megabytes? Don't worry about that. It's recorded. It's indelible. The Bible is saying it can be canceled. Wipe out from the document. Canceling the record of the debt that stood against you with its legal demands. How? He set aside. Nailing it to the cross. Nailing it to the cross. My filth. Nailing it to the cross. My anger. Nailing it to the cross. My sin. Nailing it to the cross. His death is my death. Nailing it to the cross. And you know what happens? Instead of the wet, damp paper, right? The blood of Jesus wipe away the document, sin of your document. When someone look at it, it's gone. There's no case. It's completely disappeared. There's no way to go back to that. It's completely wiped out. That's what forgiveness means. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, nailing it to the cross. But I have so much sin. You do. I do. But my sin is so deep. Indeed. Yes. Bible says, His loving kindness lead us to repentance. And I just pray that it'll bring repentance in your life. Repentance in your life. Are you living in sin? Are you living in promiscuity? Are you the Lord of your life over your finance? Repent. You need to come back to the Lord. I'm not asking you to change a little bit. Turn completely. You got to take a major shower first if you want to live. There is no way to escape, brothers and sisters. There's no way to escape. Give yours to my word, please. Okay. Second thing is time of refreshing, isn't it? Do you feel that refreshing spirit? You've been going to church. That Sunday feels like that Sunday. That Sunday feels like last year's Sunday. Discipleship doesn't work. People say discipleship doesn't work. I'm like, it's not the discipleship doesn't work. It's not the Christianity that doesn't work. You don't work. Do you want that time of refreshing? Bible promises that if you repent, turn around, and live, if you want to do that, you need to repent. Okay. Jim Boyce shows something very insightful. Okay. Haven't you known the times when Jesus became so real and the gospel so vivid that your whole spirit, soul, and body were revived? If you want time of refreshing, times that make life really worth living so that you can say, oh, it is good to be in Christ. Do you feel like that? You know why? Because you are not repenting. You're living in sin. That's why. He says, turn, repent from sin and follow Jesus closely. Turn to him. Don't blame anybody. Don't blame the church. Don't blame the Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump is not the problem. We need to pray for him. You are the problem. Not turning to God. Repentance is death to sin and life to obedience. Are you living in obedience or continue to live in disobedience and you love your sin? Ah, it'll work out somehow. Don't listen to that lie. That's delusional. Come to senses. Unless you repent, you will live in that delusion. Listening to the lie. And in the meantime, your heart gets harder and harder until it becomes completely calloused. Tell me. Repentance is life. And if you don't repent, it's death. That's what the scripture says. Okay, one last. I think this sums up everything, the heart of God. I don't think he's begging. I don't think he's begging. Please repent. I don't sense that. I don't think he's threatening. But I think God is speaking to you with Father's heart. Come back to me. Come back to me. And live. Come back to me and live. Would you just bow?